The Buffalo Bills' depth shined in the preseason win over the Colts. Which players helped themselves? Who hurt themselves? I'm breaking it all down today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy victory. No, I'm not going to do that. But that was a really fun football game. And if you are new to the podcast, what I just did will make sense to you soon enough. Happy Sunday to you. Thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder, we are free and available to you on all platforms, including YouTube. We're going to respond to this Bills win, this come-from-behind win, the Bills' ninth preseason win in a row today on the podcast. And like I said right at the beginning, what a fun football game that was. There was some preseason sloppiness for sure. But what we saw on the field was the competitive football team that I talked about all week on this podcast when I was at the practices on Wednesday and Thursday. That was my big takeaway, just watching this team overall, a competitive football team, super physical, tough, focused. I think you saw that in this game. I think that's why the Bills were able to will themselves to this win. And I know that preseason football is not about really winning games, right? It's about players having opportunity to showcase themselves in game situations to help make the roster. So we're going to focus our discussion today on who helped themselves and who hurt themselves. But I just wanted to kind of point out that this is a competitive, focus-driven football team. And I could feel that being at the game, right? Being in the stadium watching this game, that this Buffalo Bills football team is super, super competitive. I mean, they're down 24-10. With 10 minutes left in the game, they battled back. The fans were into it, those who stayed for the end of the game. I hope you did, because if you didn't, you really missed out on a really fun finish. The stadium was into it. The sideline was into it. And it was awesome to be a part of it. And I'm not trying to, like, overstate a preseason game, but it really did feel that way. There was a tangible energy in that stadium towards the end. And the Bills obviously completed the come-from-behind win. So real quick, before I do get into who helped themselves, who hurt themselves, I think it's really important to note that there were no injuries in this game for the Buffalo Bills. Anybody that got hurt came back and finished, or the Kyer Elam situation. So let's talk about that real quick. Raheem Blackshear was injured, came back and finished the game. Alec Anderson, offensive lineman, he was injured and finished the game. And then Kyer Elam was evaluated for a head injury, and he went into the medical tent and he came out very quickly and stayed on the sideline. And so that's a good indicator that everything is good to go there. So big win right there in terms of the team not sustaining any injuries that it feels like at this point in time, based on the information that we have, that we should be concerned about. So that's always a big, big win. Now, let's now focus on some of the individual players and guys that I thought helped themselves. And I want to focus right now on the offensive side of the football. How about rookie wide receiver Khalil Shakir? What a day he had. The first drive of the game, he has two big catches. And then he just keeps showing up throughout the game. Five catches on five targets, 92 yards. I mean, strong, confident hands, ran good routes, got open, was competitive after the catch. Really, really strong showing for him in his preseason NFL debut. And I tweeted during the game, I said, to the surprise of absolutely nobody who watched him at Boise State, Khalil Shakir is out here making plays. And obviously the five catches for 92 yards as a receiver matters, but how about the two punt returns? And I know that he didn't have great production on the punt returns, right? That's pretty given. I think he had like 4 yards on two returns. But the fact that he confidently fielded and took care of the football, right? I think that's the primary function of a punt returner, is to make good decisions, and handle the ball well, field it well and handle the football. And then if you can get good returns, that's the cherry on top. But I liked the confidence that we saw from Khalil Shakir as a punt returner, which is what we saw all week in practice as well. So it's nice to see those two things marry up. But first and foremost, I thought Khalil Shakir had himself a day. And he's not the only one offensively. We'll get to more players. And the next guy I want to mention is Matt Barkley, the Bills QB3. You know, Case Keenum started this game. We'll get to him in a little bit. But Matt Barkley came in the second half, and really the offense found a spark, especially in the fourth quarter. 18 of 24, 224 yards. He did have an interception that it bounced off someone's hands. Maybe it should have been a little bit better place football, but that efficiency, 18 of 24, some throws down the field, led the team back. He played confident. He played loose. And look, he doesn't have a ton of physical talent. He's not big. He's not athletic. He doesn't have a big arm. But there is something that you can always feel about watching Matt Barkley is that he will read it and rip it. Like, he is a guy that is willing to throw the ball. And I like the way that he competed in the second half of that game and how he led the team back to a win and took care of the football. And some big throws on that last drive, just kind of keeping things on schedule, chipping away at it, knowing you only need a field goal to win the game. I thought it was a very methodical approach. I really thought he did a good job in this football game. How about Zach Moss? 2 rushes, 37 yards, including a 27-yard game where it was a nice cutback, and you saw him, you know, get on his horse and break some angles and get to the sideline. On some of his other carries, you saw him really showcase that power, that low center of gravity, that contact balance, that physicality. You know, you could see that. You could feel that, and that was good. It's been a while since we've seen Zach Moss really be that physical, powerful back that he's billed to be. And let's not forget that he had a couple of catches as well. So I thought Zach Moss made the most of his opportunities, and he was the Bills starter in this game. And so, you know, Devin Singletary didn't play, but you saw several other Bills back featured in this game. And, you know, the primary guy, I guess the lead back in this contest was Zach Moss. And I think he showcased himself quite well in this football game. Thought he was loose, right? He played well. There was a confidence about the way he handled himself with the ball in his hands. And I don't think that's always been the case when I've watched Zach Moss so far in his NFL career. And this, I think, does tie back to what we've talked about a lot, in that he's finally healthy, right? This guy's been banged up a ton. And so right now he's healthy. And in this game, I thought he showcased himself quite well. How about another Bills running back, undrafted free agent out of Virginia Tech, Raheem Blackshear? I talked a lot about Raheem Blackshear this week on the podcast because he popped to me in practice, and you know, he looked fine doing running back things within the context of a practice where there's no live tackling. But his effort on special teams, his ability to get down the field, and how he handled himself as a kick and punt returner in practice all correlated to the game. But also, he showcased himself well at running back. I 2 touchdown runs. He had 4 catches for 60 yards. He did have one that hit off his hands and wound up being an interception. But it was a tough throw that I don't think many backs would have caught the ball. Had the punt return for 16 yards. He had 2 kick returns. A Swiss Army knife. I mean, if you're going to be a depth running back, you're going to try to scratch and claw your way into an NFL roster at some point. You got to do all the stuff. And I thought Raheem Blackshear, as a runner, as a receiver, as a return guy, as a special teams player, he did everything he could have possibly done to help himself in this game. And look, I don't know if he'll be the RB4 this year. I think that's going to be a Tywan Jones thing. But this is a player that, if you can keep him on your practice squad, you feel like this is a really ideal candidate to be an RB4 in future seasons. I like what this guy can offer as that Swiss Army knife to provide a lot of value as a depth running back. How about Isaiah Hodgins? What a day for him. 9 catches, 77 yards. He made some tough catches, right? The highlight reel catch along the right sideline, or at least the right sideline if you're considering how the Bills offense was working left to right. In a clutch moment, right, the release package was really good. He played through contact, strong hands, right? All the stuff, all the best of Isaiah Hodgins that we knew, right? But also how he responded to dealing with physicality and the release package that he showcased, right? He checked the big box. And, like, you want to see that sample size grow, but there was a lot of trust that these quarterbacks had throwing the ball to Isaiah Hodgins, and I thought he showcased himself well at the catch point, ran good routes, good release package, and had a good game. 9 catches, 77 yards. And on that last drive, he made a lot of important grabs to kind of keep the chains moving, keep the offense, you know, chipping away at getting Tyler Bass in a field goal range, and he played really well. Good day for Isaiah Hodgins. Not all the receivers had good days, but Khalil Shakir, Isaiah Hodgins, phenomenal in this football game. The last player on offense that I want to mention that helped themselves is Quentin Morse. He only had one catch for 29 yards, but it was a big-time catch late in the game, you know, was able to stack vertically down the field and make a catch over the shoulder. And that's the appeal of the Quentin Morse, is this receiving profile that he offers, right? He's not like a big inline tight end, but as a move piece, you know, that's what he offers. And you want to see guys like that can get down the field and make explosive plays. He did that in this football game in a big time situation. So really liked what I saw from him, especially when you contrast it to, you know, like an OJ Howard in this football game, which we'll get to in just a moment. But the guys on offense that I think really helped themselves, Khalil Shakir, Matt Barkley, Zach Moss, Raheem Blackshear, Isaiah Hodgins, and Quentin Morse. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening now. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Let's talk now about who helped themselves on the defensive side of the football. And, of course, we'll talk a little special teams as well here in this segment. You know, I'm gonna go in an order here, but it's not necessarily intentional. There's just a lot I want to get to on the defensive side of the football, because I thought these guys competed so hard, right? Like, it wasn't perfect. There were some missed opportunities, but my goodness, they're going up against the Colts starters for like into the second quarter. Like from a talent perspective, you kind of think they were overmatched, but these guys didn't back down. They competed their asses off. And I loved watching that. They played good, hard, tough football in a game where, quote unquote, they were overmatched. And I thought that showed up throughout the contest at, you know, all units for the Bills in terms of second, third, even fourth string guys. But let's do start with Kyer Elam and Christian Benford, who started across from each other at corner in this game. And that's where my eyes, when I was watching this game in the stadium, my eyes were on those two players. That's where I really focused when I was watching the defense. And then the replays, I would kind of focus on the rest of it. I thought those guys played great. They didn't look like they were guessing. They didn't look like they were playing tight. They were keying in on their fundamentals, working hard to stay in phase, and were aggressive at the catch point. I thought in coverage, those guys were both really, really strong. They both had a nice pass breakup. You know, they gave up a catch. I mean, that's stuff that happens. Kyer Elam had a penalty called against him. Not sure if I fully agree with it, but I thought those guys were tough. They looked athletic. They looked confident and played well against starting receivers for the Colts, against Matt Ryan, an NFL MVP, a guy that's been to the Super Bowl behind a good offensive line. I like what I saw from Kyer Elam and Christian Benford in this game. Now, obviously, Dane Jackson didn't play, which is a good sign for Dane Jackson. So I think if you had to answer the question right now, if Tre'Davious White was Tre'Davious White and healthy and ready to go, the guy opposite of Tre'Davious White is Dane Jackson. I think him not playing in this game is a clear signal to that. But I thought that this game certainly helps me put aside some of the buzz that's come out of camp lately about these two players and what they can be for the Bills this year, especially if Trey White's going to be out for a bit. I thought they were both played good ball, especially I wouldn't say especially either one. They both just, you could just tell they were keying in on their fundamentals. Their eyes were in the right spots. They were challenged. They didn't back down. They brought good energy. I liked what I saw from the two rookie corners. How about Jaquan Johnson, fourth-year safety? Feels like anytime this guy gets on the field, he just makes plays. And I know that it's boring to just label a guy a football player, but my goodness, that's what Jaquan Johnson is. And you watch him at Miami, and that's what he was. He's just a little small, He's a little slow, but the dude makes plays every time we see him on the field in a Bills uniform. Interception in this game, pass breakup. He's flying around, taking good angles, making some big tackles. I thought that there was going to be a touchdown run earlier in the game on around the left sideline. Jaquan Johnson gets on his horse and makes a tackle on Nyheim Hines, who's a really fast back. Jaquan Johnson, I mean, not that I want to ever not see Poyer and Hyde playing for this Bills defense, but if something happens to either one of them, you got to feel good about Jaquan being able to step in and play good, because every time we've seen him on the field, dating back to his rookie year preseason, you know, the spot starts that he's had late in games he gets in, the dude just makes plays. How about Boogie Basham with the strip sack? Like that move to get around that near hip. Showed good burst to the ball. Was able to flatten and finish. Good play, right? That's what you want to see from your second year, second round pick out of Wake Forest, who didn't make that much of an impact as a rookie. Did turn it on a bit late in the season and parlayed that into a really strong moment in this football game. How about Baylen Specter, Bill's late round pick out of Clemson, the linebacker? Thought he played good. 10 tackles and a pass breakup, but it was the confidence, right? He's flying around the field, always around the ball, making tough tackles outside of his frame. I mean, this guy was everywhere when he was out there. You could feel his presence on the field. Plays fast, plays physical, he's athletic. And he's going to really force the issue here when it comes to this Bills linebacker depth, especially with Andre Smith being suspended for the first 6 weeks of the season. There's a clear path for Baylen Specter to make this roster, and so far, so good. There's been some good praise out of camp, and I thought he played well against the Colts. I thought Joe Giles Harris played well. It feels like every time I was dialed into Joe Giles Harris at Duke. And he's been in the league for a little bit, practice squad guys, some intermittent opportunities to get on the field, but another player that every time I watch him play, he makes plays. 6 tackles, tackle for loss, pass breakup, quarterback hurry in this game against the Colts. I thought he played well. Some of the Bills' depth, like practice squad candidates on the defensive line, they showed up and made plays. Brandon Bryant, Daniel Joseph, Prince Amili, Mike Love. Now, these are guys that are competing for practice squad spots, and I thought they all showcased themselves very, very well. How about Tim Settle? Tim Settle's not competing for anything. He's going to make this team, obviously. And he's a really exciting player to me because every time I watch him play, he's made plays. And that goes back to his time with Washington and at Virginia Tech. Just his path, the trajectory that he's on, it's always been, well, what can this guy do with more opportunity? But this Washington defensive line's been so loaded. They haven't really had a ton of reps for him, and the Bills are a little bit more rotation heavy, and you get excited about what he can do across more plays. And this guy early in the game, you know, against the Colts starting offensive line, is resetting the line of scrimmage, playing fast, getting off blocks and making plays, including one against Quentin Nelson. Tim Settle played really good ball in this football game, and that's going to earn him more and more opportunity to get on the field during the regular season. Really like what he brings to this football team. Contrast that to a Vernon Butler, big time upgrade. Thought Andre Smith, I mean, despite him being suspended for the first 6 weeks of the season, I thought he played fast and physical, 4 tackles, a sack, tackle for loss, quarterback hurry. Aggressive player. Thought he did well. Tim Harris, I thought he played well. Depth corner, Cam Lewis, those guys all made plays. I mean, the Bills' depth on defense collectively, I thought, played well from start to finish. Few bad situations they were put in. They responded well. But I just love the way that these guys competed and guys made plays. And guys that, you know, you want to see that because they're depth players. Really, really, really pleased with all those guys and how they showcased in this game. How about the punt god, Matt Araiza, launching the 82-yard punt? If your response to him having an 82-yard punt with a 62-yard net was that it was a touchback, I don't know what to tell you. 62-yard net punts. You sign up for them every single time. Flipped the field. If it's an 82-yard punt with a 62-yard net, you'll take it every time. And then how about the holds? The holds were good, including the game winner. And you know me, I'm a big dork for special teams. I'm looking at, you know, I'm with Brooke and Sam. You know, we got my colleagues at the Draft Network were in the stands. And I said, look, I like this opportunity for Matt Araiza because this is a pressure hold situation. We want to see how he does. Put it down. Tyler Bass puts it through the uprights. The Bills get the dub. That's a pressure situation that Matt Araiza met that moment. So the guy had a crazy punt that, you know, people are texting. I'm getting text messages from non-Bills fans about a punt in preseason. How cool is that? How cool is that? Shout out Bob. My buddy Bob sent me a text. He's an Eagles fan. That was cool. See what happens with Matt Hawk. But I think Matt Araiza, and I told you guys, I watched Matt Araiza all week. I thought he was awesome all week. I was expecting to see a lot more inconsistency. I was expecting to see more rawness with control. I didn't see it at all. And I watched him all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, and of course at the I was on the field for the pregame. What do you think I'm doing? I'm watching Matt Araiza. I thought the consistency was fantastic. I'm in on this punt god. So let's talk about who hurt themselves. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time sitting here just dogging players, but there's some things that happened in this football game that we need to talk about that didn't go right for the Bills, and things that you wish were different for guys that, you know, potentially could be claiming big roles for this team or competing for spots. And again, this isn't a big enough sample size for us to like bury guys. So let's keep that in mind. But from this game, right, that's what we're focusing on. We're focusing on this exposure, this sample. This is what I have to say in terms of guys that had a level of disappointment for me. We'll start with Case Keenum. And it's a tough situation for Case Keenum to step into with backups, your backups against the Colts starters, and the Colts are a good football team, especially on defense. I understand that. I give Case some grace for that. I'm not really upset about interceptions or anything like that that happened. I thought some of that stuff was fluky. My issues with Case Keenum was that his limitations as a player, they showed up in the red zone. You know, when you need to have a little bit more arm talent to drive a football, when you need to be a quicker processor to give yourself a chance to perform better when you have limited physical talent in a condensed, tighter area of the field, those limitations showed up in this game. And I didn't love some of the rushing attempts Ken Dorsey called on that first red zone sequence, but there were still some good spread passing options that I thought, you know, Case needed to read it and rip it and get the ball out and drive the football into some spots, and I don't think he did that well enough. He made a couple of good throws. The Khalil Shakir throw definitely stands out. It wasn't all bad, and again, there's context that we should keep in mind, but I think some of the physical limitations that you get concerned about with a Case Keenum, they showed up in the red zone in this football game. How about Jamison Crowder with that drop? Jamison Crowder's been a good receiver in the NFL for long enough and doesn't have drop issues for me to sit here and get overly concerned about it. But when we're talking about this exposure and how it helps or hurts their chances of making this team, you have Jamison Crowder out there playing with Case Keenum at quarterback while Isaiah McKenzie's not even dressed because obviously he's secure in his spot. And so Jamison Crowder is supposed to really challenge Isaiah McKenzie right now. And he gets one target, the ball bounces off his hands, and it's intercepted. Not a great moment for Jamison Crowder. Like I said, big enough sample size of him not having drop issues that we're going to put a whole lot in this, but you're wondering how the 2022 version of Jamison Crowder can help the 2022 version of the Buffalo Bills, and this was not a good moment for him, especially when Isaiah McKenzie is not playing in this game because of choice, right? They value Isaiah McKenzie. They don't want him to get hurt. He's clearly leading this slot receiver competition, and which begs the question, what does Jamison Crowder give you on special teams? The answer to that is nothing. He gives you nothing on special teams. And so while you're looking at Khalil Shakir out there making plays, you're looking at Isaiah Hodgins out there making plays, and those guys do help you on teams, that's the path for a Jamison Crowder to not make this roster. I started talking about this mid-camp when I did my roster projection, and I got a lot of feedback from people that are like, oh, Jamison Crowder is an experienced player. The Bills are going to go with him, and you're crazy for saying that. Well, this is what I'm talking about. I'm not sitting here trying to dunk or tell you that Jamison Crowder is not going to make this team, but let's acknowledge that if he doesn't win the starting slot role as a depth receiver, he doesn't bring enough value elsewhere to be a rosterable player. So we'll see how that all plays out. Jake Kumerow had a fumble. Didn't like that. I mean, he got open, made the catch, but secure the ball, dude. And I know that Jake Kumerow exists to block and play special teams. And if he, you know, I think he'll probably will make the team. And if he does, he might have five targets on the season. So I'm not sitting here like panicking over a fumble. But obviously, like I said, this exposure didn't help Jake Kumerow. OJ Howard, let's talk about it. He's playing late into the second half of a preseason week one game where the Bills are resting anybody that's meaningful to their team or guys who are secure. OJ Howard, we really haven't heard a whole lot of good with OJ Howard. And that dates back to Matt Parrino kind of bringing it up in OTAs. Hasn't moved the needle in camp. Didn't do much in the days that I watched. And in this game, he's playing late into the game and not moving the needle. A talent like him playing late into the week one preseason game, you'd expect him to be like a guy that you would want to get involved. Like that's a dude, a guy that would make a difference and be a real challenge for the opposition. Didn't happen with OJ Howard. I'll tell you a guy that really I thought struggled a lot. That's Luke Tenuta, Bills draft pick out of Virginia Tech, played, started the game at right tackle and then moved over to left tackle eventually. He struggled in pass protection. I just don't, he doesn't get himself square. He's got short arms for a guy that's as tall as he is. He opens his hips too soon. He got beat inside. He got beat around the outside two times that I could see live. I thought he struggled mightily. And you know, you just wonder with a guy like this, you know, I don't think as a draft pick, I don't see the path for him to make the roster, but what's the developmental appeal? Limited physical gifts. I question the versatility. I think he'll probably get some chances to play guard despite his frame. But I thought he was rough in this game. And he also had a penalty. If I'm not mistaken, he had a penalty on that last drive that put the Bills in a first and 20 situation. Now, they made plays and overcame it. But, like, between the penalty and, like, three very clean losses in pass pro, I thought it was a rough day for Luke Tenuta. Two guys that I want to mention that I don't necessarily want to put in the who hurt themselves category, but I think there was something there that is worth mentioning. Let's start with Terrell Bernard, the Bills' third-round pick out of Baylor. Obviously, the scoop and score touchdown was good. You love seeing that. He's obviously athletic. That was a fun play. I liked that a lot. Thought mostly he played well, but there's a lot of chatter that I could see about the reception that he conceded to Kylan Granson on third down, a 23-yard completion, where it was kind of a shallow crosser. And, I mean, Kylan Granson just blew right by him and separated and made a very easy catch-and-run situation for the Colts, excuse me, to Kylan Granson. Meanwhile, you know, Terrell Bernard's trailing way behind. Crossers are tough for linebackers to stay connected with. I have some grace there. My issue is that he didn't feel it, right? And I need to watch the All-22 to fully understand the play. But, you know, where were his eyes? You know, if you're that guy that's ready, that needs to clean up stuff coming across the middle and there's no threat to your, like, you need to be looking, you need to be aware of where your eligible receivers are and where your threats are coming. And I don't feel like Terrell Bernard was in a good position with his eyes to see that in his peripherals and put himself in a position to either cap it or get himself to be able to run and stay connected and create a very easy play. Again, it's one play. I'm not putting a whole lot of stock into it because there was a lot of chatter, I do want to mention it. There's things he could have done better on that play. Baylen Specter got caught on one as well. Maybe not quite as much separation, but Baylen Specter gave up one of those shallow crossers as well. How about Shaq Lawson, right? I think he's firmly the fifth defensive end right now. Firmly. I'm pretty comfortable with knowing who Shaq Lawson is as a player. But there was a third down play. I think it was like a third and five, something like that. He decided to just fly up the field and rush the passer, and the Colts ran the football. And him just flying up the field created a very, very easy running lane for them to rip off a first down run. And Shaq's flying up the field. You got to stay true to your fundamentals, dude. You can't just try to sell out and make a play. You got to stay true and play, do your 111. And that was an example of him not doing that, flying up the field, creating a very easy rush lane where he needed to squeeze down, stay connected, and make a play. So those were the guys that I think in some way hurt themselves. Before I get out of here today, I do want to just comment on the week that I had in Buffalo or Western New York. Rochester as well. I had an amazing week, and I always do. Every time that I come up here, I have so much fun. The weather was beautiful. It's gorgeous. I mean, I'm waking up playing golf early, 7 in the morning. It's like 65 degrees. I'm done at like 10 o'clock. It's like maybe 71, 72. Beautiful weather, especially coming up from Charlotte where it's, you know, muggy and hot. Everybody's so kind and nice. And I do want to give some shout outs to a lot of people who made this a really fun week for me in Western New York and the Rochester area. My family members, my grandma Judy, my grandpa Don, who I'm in his office right now. I'm in his office recording here late on Saturday night to bring this to you. And love grandma and grandpa Don. They're amazing. My mom, my Aunt Connie, Uncle Bob, Aunt Karen, Aunt Kathy, Uncle Buzz, my cousins, Sam, Kelly, Josiah. Had some golfing partners that I had a lot of fun with. Of course, Grandpa Don, I always get on the course with him. But Tim, Danny, Scott, Matt, and Rick, really enjoyed my time with you guys. Love my time with Bill's Mafia members, and I'm so sorry if I forgot anyone, but Joe Miller, Alyssa Like Milano, Drew Gear, no R, Drew Gear, not Drew Greer. Check him out, Rock Power Report podcast. John Fino, an amazing time with John. Spent a lot of time talking with him, and we're nerding out about offensive line technique. It was really fun. Pam Adana, Kara, Ashley Petty, Kristen Kimmick, Sarah, Matt, Garrett, Amanda, the group that I met from Toronto at the tailgate at the Bills Mafia house, the owner of the Bills Mafia house, met people from Montana, New Jersey, their spouses. Larry stopped by and say hello. Loved it. I had a great, great time. And of course, my TDN family, my coworkers, Sam Russo, Brooke Cromer, and her parents, Aaron and Dawn. You guys were amazing. Had an awesome week. Thank you so much. I got to wake up and drive to Charlotte in the morning. So not looking forward to that, but certainly had a great time. And I always do. I can't wait to get back up. Every time I'm at this point where I'm getting ready to leave, I have some sadness about it. And I think about, all right, when can I get back up here? And whenever that is, I'll certainly let everyone know. I'll definitely be up for the Packers game, but there might be a couple others as well. So stay tuned on that. And, We're back. Bills are on the field playing football games, and this thing is really real. So don't miss anything. We're going to talk all the way through this season, have a lot of fun covering a really good Buffalo Bills football team. So make sure that you're subscribed. We'd love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to catching up with you again next time.